Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program, and I'm featuring interviews with folks I consider to be some of the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll ask them about their expertise and their work and their passion, but mainly want to focus on their inner world, the turning points in their lives, their mentors and influencers, and decisions they made that brought them success, and what they're up to these days, what they're up to now, and what they've got to offer you as my listener. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying matrix or pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. And quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered how to access these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get complete information, and I've got a free video available on my techniques and methods if you go to www.moneymatrixmethod.com. Also, if you want to click on the follow button on this website, and we're on blocktalkradio.com/logicalsoul, you can get a heads up on all our great interviews. So to get information and a free video at our website, go to www.moneymatrixmethod.com. Now, my guests were selected because, quite frankly, I find their stories and their lives interesting. I also found out they possess qualities I find rare in an individual, and that is a passion for what they do and the determination to see it through. They obviously have made some strong decisions early in life that led them to their current successes and achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions and how they got to where they are. This will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that you can add to your own motivation and nourish what I call your seed of success. So listen and enjoy. After about 10 or 15 minutes, please call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you want to get called on, simply press 1 to raise your hand. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, in other words, it's after the show has already happened, sorry, you can still call in, but no one will answer, so tune in when we have a live show. Otherwise, thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you get something valuable from it. Now, my guest on the show tonight is a friend of mine. She's been a friend of mine for many, many years, and she also has a great passion for what she does, and I'm going to let her describe a little bit more about what that is. Her name is Brownell Landrum, and she's an inventor. She's an author. She's been in the corporate world. She has created a product. She's created several products, written several books, and I'm going to let her explain a little bit more about that is. But she's actually got something called Draw Success. And her story is quite interesting. Having known her personally for a while, I can tell you this lady is quite resourceful when it comes to taking ideas to the marketplace and not being afraid to actually put them out there and have them fail. And she's had a few fail, and bless her heart, she's back and stronger than ever. And I'm just going to bring her on the line. This is Brownell Landrum. Brownell, are you there?
I am here.
So happy to have you back on the show. I think you were like one of my first or second guests I ever had. This has been a couple of years ago, I believe.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about this this new you're writing on a book. Actually, your latest book, I love the title. It's called Patience is a Waste of Time. How far are you along with that one?
Well, actually, it's very exciting. I have heard from my agent, and he said that he's got immediate positive interest from publishers, and that it looks like I'll have an offer within the next week or two. So
wow.
That's pretty big deal, and if anybody's listening that knows much about the world of authors and publishing, getting a publisher is not always the easiest thing to do in today's marketplace. So I'm quite excited about that. And I'm also quite excited about, you know, what it's going to mean to people and how it's going to change lives, like what you're doing, Michael.
That's great. That's great. I love the title, Patience is a Waste of Time. My wife would definitely be one to buy that one. She's right there along with you, so, and you know her as well. You've also written, I think your first book was called Five Reasons Why Bad Things Happen. It was like a self-help book, and it broke new ground on the why most tragedies happen and how you can turn them into eventual triumph. And how did that book go, or are you still promoting that, or is that I know that you created some games that came out of that. Tell us a little bit more about that and what happened.
Yeah, well, the Five Reasons Why book came out of my own personal experience. As you mentioned earlier, you know, I've been through my share of travails and challenges, and I had a business before the business that I have now, and it failed, and I went through bankruptcy and foreclosure and all those kinds of things, as well as some other big problems that I had to deal with at the same time, ending of a relationship that was significant to me, my dog passing away. I mean, all these things happened at once, and that led me to write the book. And
right.
It put me, writing this book, I mean, here I was literally losing my house from under me, but I was still in this state of bliss as I was writing it, and it was just so cathartic for me.
Right.
And then after I wrote it, I have published it. I self-published it. I still think it's got a market out there, but the truth is, pretty much right after I wrote the book, I jumped right into my business, Draw Success, that you mentioned.
Right.
And so I really haven't spent much time promoting that book, just because I had to, you know, choose my priorities. But it's out there, and, you know, someday it may pop back up, and who knows, maybe the second book is going to help promote the first book.
That's entirely possible. I think it is. Usually it only takes one to launch you, you know.
Exactly.
Now you've got an interesting background. You've got a corporate background. I mean, I know you've worked with Xerox and Kodak and a few other companies. You're also a member of the American Society of Training and Development, Project Management Institute, Meeting Planners International, and several others. You've also worked for companies like Coca-Cola and Siemens. And I guess you developed this game. I'm going to ask you a little bit about that in a minute. But I guess you've got some insights as to how businesses are run and how people can actually make success. It's called Draw Success, by the way. It's a Draw Success game. And is this available to individuals and families, or do you just sell this through a corporate venue?
Right now, our focus is in the world of corporate training. Although I have played the game with couples and relationships, and it's been quite transformative for that, we really are focusing more on business. And then earlier this year, I launched Draw Success for Students, which is still emerging, but an opportunity to get in and work with students.
That's great. It sounds like a great educational tool. You want to give people a little bit of a sort of an overview of how the game works and what you can expect from it?
Yeah, it's the game is really the magical process behind how the business works in general, and Draw Success as a company is breaking new ground. In Latin, to educate means to draw out.
Right.
And if you think about that, I mean, very little education is about drawing out.
Right.
Most of it is about what we're teaching people as opposed to what we're learning from people. So our process is based on some fundamental beliefs that we believe that to educate means to draw out. And we also believe that, you know, companies have a wealth of knowledge with their employees. We believe that training not only can be fun, it must be fun. I mean, some really breakthrough concepts. And this game really basically does exactly what we're called. It helps draw success. It helps draw out solutions and help people understand each other and share and create a safe environment for really sharing all kinds of things. I mean, we've got a diversity program that we did an event with the Diversity and Inclusion Foundation, and people were opening up about very deep and powerful experiences that had never met each other within 30 minutes of playing this game.
Wow.
It's very powerful, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine it is. It's, knowing your background, I mean, you come from more of a self-development background as well, and quite frankly, I don't see a whole lot of that in the corporate world. I think it's happening more and more, but you're definitely a pioneer in that field. I applaud you for that. What else are you working on? I know beside the book and the game, I mean, there's plenty to do, so I'm not asking that lightly. But is there anything else that you've got your attention on or something in the future that maybe you're looking at as far as developing or bringing forth?
Well, really the thing that's on my mind right now is the book, because it is, you know, the proposal's finished, but I need to finish writing the rest of the book.
Right.
And, you know, communicating really what Patience is a Waste of Time is about, because I really think that in today's economy and today's world, we can't afford to be patient anymore. We need our education system can't afford to be patient. People looking for jobs in our economy can't afford to be patient. Mm. Where we stand within the rest of the world as far as the United States, I mean, all of this is, we really need to start taking action. And it's pretty similar, really, Michael, to some of the processes that you do, is kind of cut through the clutter and help get better focus.
Right.
And that's really what it's about. So the next step is we've got these, I've got a module for Draw Success that's called Efficiency and Accomplishment, and it really aligns with the book. And so I'm going to be looking for corporate leaders and senior executives, hopefully of the bigger the company, the better, but to work with us to get some case studies to put into the book.
Oh, man, that should be a big success. Or, you know, it depends on which corporation it is. They might not see the light of day. You know what I'm saying? It's real interesting because I noticed that some companies, and you know more about this than I do. I've just had a little cursory information about corporations because I worked in one for a short while. But really, the whole atmosphere in some of them, and obviously not all of them, is about self-preservation. In other words, my turf is my turf. I'm going to take care of what I've got to do. And a lot of times, wittingly or unwittingly, you undercut other people who are trying to accomplish things simply because it's edging on your turf or it's causing you more work time or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And so I guess you go into this in your game and how you approach it, you know, how people can work more together as a win-win type thing. But I've generally found that I guess win-win is coming into corporations more and more, but I still find a lot of pettiness going on. Is that something you're also seeing?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, there's a breakdown in communication that happens between different personality and behavioral types.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, there's some people that, when they hear patience is a waste of time, are just appalled and think that that's just the most horrific title you could ever have. And whereas others, like your wife, are like, hell yeah, bring it on, you know. Or
right.
I met a CEO, and his immediate response to the title was, I've got to buy a copy for all of my people.
Right.
So you got to understand where people are coming from. And
right.
I think that's one of the things that we have a very powerful process to do that. But we also, you know, within our game environment, some of that stuff that's unsaid that you're talking about comes out.
Uh-huh.
And that's what makes it really powerful, because it's the unsaid things. I mean,
right.
I'll give you an example. You know, one of my principles in the book is, you know, no news is rarely good news, right? And good things don't happen to people who wait. They happen to people who hustle.
Mm.
Well, those are both really powerful paradigms in our culture, is, you know, the opposite of what I just said.
Right.
And so how do you get through that? Well, I'll give you an example, is that there's some people that you're going to have to go to. They say, I'll call you. Well, we're going to have to be a little bit more forthcoming to say, okay, when will you call me?
Right.
Or if you're selling something to somebody, what information do you need to make this decision? And so that we can be a lot more respectful of each other's time and really get to the, you know, get to the meat of what we want to accomplish.
Right. Right, that's so important. I mean, in sales as well as business relationships of any kind, that's a really valid point. So your game goes into all these types. Or the one that you're talking about, that'll be what was the name of the next game? I think it's not, that goes along with the Patience book.
Efficiency and Accomplishment.
Efficiency.
It's about getting more of what you want faster.
Right. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's really the big message in it. And so that fits along with the patience is a waste of time.
Oh, I agree totally. It's interesting when you said different personality types will take this differently. I know that, you know, if you understand the DISC categorizations, you know, the D's and the I's will just go for it, you know, hands down. The dominant and the influencers or whatever, they love the title. The ones that are more S and C, the more stable, and what's the C stand for? I forget.
Compliant or
yeah,
process or,
they tend
know,
to be very up. They tend to be very slow and very methodical, and you know, cross their T's, dot their I's, and everything's in place, you know. And so I can see how probably, and the interesting thing is, I think most of the people in society either fall in an S and C category, maybe 30-40% may fall in the D, I, or combination. And of course, there is all different mixtures of those things. I guess that's what you were talking about when you were saying the CEO, who is almost always a D.
Yes, and all we call them a green genius. But,
right.
But it's, yeah, they're the ones who, you know, and it's not necessarily because they're the best leaders, but because they're so driven and focused on the future,
right,
and making things happen. I mean, that's why they get to that position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key is, you know, those CEOs are going to want to read the book and want to get copies of the book for their employees. But when you start seeing what's inside the book, it's meaningful to all of those characters.
Right. Okay. Let's say, I know you're doing the corporate thing, but let's just say you're one of our listeners or several of our listeners have small businesses. You know, like maybe 2-3 people in the company, or maybe they're work at home types. Maybe they're work at home mom, stay at home mom, that type of thing. They have a small business going on. What can you advise these people that might help them to push through some of the blocks that they have?
Well, I guess, you know, it ultimately comes down to, and I'll give you a little preview to what is in this Patience is a Waste of Time book, because I think this is a pretty simple thing for me to explain even verbally, and of course they'll be able to see it in the book. But the first thing is to kind of create a matrix or a grid of, and put on the top, you know, to the left, what you want, and to the right, what you don't want.
Uh-huh.
And then on the left side, you put what you have and what you don't have.
Got it.
So what you do is you make a grid of, then you start looking at things that you want that you have.
Uh-huh.
Right? And those are the things that you need to nurture.
Right.
But then you look at what you want that you don't have, which is frankly where we spend most of our time, right, is thinking
uh-huh.
about the things we want that we don't have. Those are the things you cultivate.
Right.
Then you look at the things you don't want and have, and those are things you have to eliminate.
Right.
And then finally you look at the things that you don't want and don't have, and you have to be clear about avoiding them. So what's important is when you look at that and you look at it from that particular aspect, then you start seeing, okay, what is it that you really do want to do, and how do you get that, and how do you make sure? Because sometimes we trade... like, I'll give you a good example. I'll use an example of marriage, just a
uh-huh.
simple example. You know, single people might say, oh, I want to get married, because and that's in their want and don't have area. But what they might not realize is some of the things that they want that they have, they're going to have to give up, like
uh-huh.
some freedom,
uh-huh.
for example.
Right.
So, you know, or if you were having children, the same kind of thing. So same with business owners, right, is making sure that you want what you know, that you know what you want and know what you don't want and know how to be really clear on that.
Right.
That would be one, you know, that's one principle that's in the book that I think would be very meaningful.
I love that. I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, just give me copyright credit. I feel like I can let people steal it.
Is it copyrighted?
Well, it will be. It is officially, I mean, but it's unofficially, but it will be officially. But there's a lot of models like that in the book that really get deep into that. That's something that I think that entrepreneurs need to know. The other thing is, you know, they really, most entrepreneurs don't really spend enough time looking at their business model and how to make sure that they have the most lucrative business model that they can have.
Right.
One thing that I will say, you know, I give myself a lot of credit for is the Draw Success business model has all the components of a smart business model. It's got leverage, which means I license it to other people to sell and deliver it.
Uh-huh.
It's got residual income. It's got recurring income. It's unique and protectable and patented. You know, all kinds of things that people need to do that they think, you know, that they could do that could all of a sudden multiply what they're, you know, what they're earning.
Right, right. So to a small business person, leverage would mean, you know, is someone selling your product other than you, for example? Or if it's on the website, do you have traffic coming to your website? Do you have multiple orders going on at the same time? At the same time, residual would be, you know, do you have back-end products? Once you sell the front product, do you have something that you can sell after that? And also the recurring, and I'm just throwing this out there, correct me if I'm wrong, and then the recurring would be like, you know, setting up a membership site or setting up some sort of situation where they have to buy the product over and over again, like soap products and things like that. So did I get that correct?
Yeah, you said
okay.
That's right. Yeah, okay. If you think about, you know, residual is, you know, you work once and keep getting paid for that work.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like you write a book and then they just keep selling book. And then recurring gets into, well, I'm going to write more than one book. And so that people want to buy the other book and the next book and the next book. And so they keep multiplying from that respect as well.
Okay.
So those are some other additional ways to look at it. But you said what you said is exactly right on.
Yeah. Okay. It's the definitions were a little bit off, but that's
No, they're the alignment. Yeah. I just expanded it. That's all I did.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, this is great. I love your grid concept, by the way. And if I do mention it, I'll mention your name in the book. So.
You're also appearing. I'll let you do it. As long as I get credit, that's all I really care about. Is that,
I have no problem giving you credit for that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. I've got several things like that are really, really powerful. So I think you'll like it a lot. So that kind of stuff is meaningful to each individual. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. And you know, we try to make it fun. I mean, Draw Success is a game. It's about fun.
Uh-huh.
And so you think, wait a minute, if you're pushing me, that's not going to be fun. And I'm saying, no, not necessarily. You can make it fun and fast.
Okay. Okay, hold on. I think we've got a call. You want to hold on a second? Let me ask.
Great.
I think I know who this is. You're on the air. Is that you, Brigitta?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Did you want to be on the air, or are you just listening online?
I'm just listening. I didn't press anything yet.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. Never mind.
I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay. I've had problems in the past where they said, well, I've been holding on for 30 minutes, and you didn't call on me. So I just want to make sure I touch all the bases before I give up on people. Sometimes this dashboard is a little bit... So anyway, back to our topic here. Where were we?
We were just talking about business models and relating it to
right.
Make sure that I think entrepreneurs, you know, just make sure that you're getting the most from what you're doing.
I think that's excellent idea. I love the grid thing, and I also love the business model. Understand how you leverage your time and your products, your services, things like that. What a lot of people don't know, and this is true of small business as well as large business. I mean, if you have a service and you're only providing, like you're cleaning houses, for example. I'm just using that as an example, or you're owner of a Roto-Rooter business or something like that, and you go in and you do a service. Well, you're only going to get paid for the services you render, and if you just do a service, then that's time involved. You're basically, if you bought a franchise for that or created a business for that, you're basically just owning your job. As opposed to leveraging that, either hiring out help for less than what you're making, hopefully, or you know, leveraging products or services some other way. So I love the idea that the business model has to be correct as well as that idea of the grid. I think the grid is genius.
Thank you. Pretty exciting. And speaking of genius, this is a quote that a friend of mine uses, and I think it's relevant to entrepreneurs, especially small business entrepreneurs, but it's also a challenge. But the quote that he says is, if it's not your genius, it's not your job.
Ah.
And although that's really hard to do, because if you're a one-person shop or you've got just the small people, you end up doing a lot more than what might be in your natural comfort zone. But I think it is a good advice to think about what do you do well and what do you enjoy doing and
right.
What can you get other people to help you with.
I tell you, that's so true, and it's not the same for everyone, thank goodness. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got more of a DI personality. You know, I'm loathe to admit it, but that's the way it is. I've got a little bit of the others, but mostly predominantly D&I. And I just hired somebody, finally, to come in as an administrative assistant. And she loves organizing. She loves learning, and she loves organizing. She loves putting things in files and doing all this stuff. And I'm going, holy cow, this is great, you know, because I hate doing that stuff, you know. And,
exactly.
And so it's, you know, and it's like everybody has, you know, like different strokes for different folks, and it's true. I mean, everybody has a different love. I mean, what I may absolutely loathe, she has a passion for, and I think that's great. And it's like, and I've heard from several other people that I've talked to, unless you have the different types in your company, unless you have all the different types in your company, you're going to have problems because you're going to be doing stuff that you may loathe it, but it has to be done anyway, you know. And consequently,
right, and it's going to deplete your energy, and then all of a sudden, then it's, you know, lowering and lowering and lowering your energy, and it's going to, you know, prevent you from really accomplishing what you want to accomplish.
Exactly. We're talking with Brownell Landrum, inventor and author. If you want to call in, we've got a few more minutes here. Actually, we've got about 4 minutes, I guess. Call in. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. 347-843-4544. Press 1 to raise your hand and ask Brownell a question. And after the music, by the way, we may have a few minutes left for what I call outtake moments, where we'll be able to talk to you if you want to talk to Brownell after the show. However, that's been sort of tricky lately, and sometimes Blog Talk Radio cuts us short. So if we get abruptly cut off during those outtake moments, you'll understand why. But at any rate, I wanted to thank Brownell for being on the show. As I said, we've only got a few minutes here. Next week, I've got a guest coming in, and I'll just mention that guest right now while we have time. And it actually is going to be my wife, Brigitta. Brigitta is going to be coming on because she recently got laid off. And she has taken those lemons, turned them into lemonade, if you want to put the analogy there, and created something very powerful. And she's going to come on the show next week, join me, and we're going to talk about what she has done, some of the steps she has taken, how she has leveraged her knowledge and her time and created a success out of that. And we're continuing to grow in that success. I helped her a little bit, but she did most of the knowledge and most of the understanding, and really that's what it takes. It takes different people to make things happen like that. So, Brownell, while we still have a minute or two, is there anything else you wanted to add? We don't have a call in yet, but is there anything you wanted to add or summarize?
Not really. I mean, if somebody is interested in Draw Success, they can go to drawsuccess.com.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty self-explanatory. And or if they're interested in patience as a waste of time, I have a kind of a rough website up as patience as a waste of time. So both websites are up, and both have a way to contact me if anybody's interested in that.
Right. So it's drawsuccess.com and patienceasawasteoftime.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. And she doesn't have the book yet, but it should be up there. And I assume it'll be on Amazon as well.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it'll be the whole gamut. If I get, you know, a good big publisher, then hopefully it'll be everything.
Yeah. And we'll be seeing you on Oprah in a few months.
Yeah, it could be. I'm hoping to get it out by next May when there's Book Expo. That would be my goal, is if at least we could have the galleys ready by May.
Right. So, well, you might be able to have your own show on Oprah's network. She needs good content, so maybe you can contact her for that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But anyway, I know that was one of your goals at one time, so see what happens.
Yeah, because it's changed now. I mean, she doesn't have her regular show anymore, but there
right.
doesn't mean there's still not opportunities.
Yeah, then definitely. I think there's more opportunity because she's got openings. She needs content, good content, you know.
Right, right. And for a radio show, too, for the serious,
exactly.
you know.
So we're talking to Brownell Landrum, author and inventor. Thank you so much for joining the show, Brownell. We're about to run out of time here, but I just wanted to say thank you. If you're listening to this live, thank you for joining the show. If you're listening to this as a podcast, thank you for joining the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Brownell. And next week, this is Ed. Michelle, you're still there.
I am.
Okay. I guess we're just going into outtake moments. Is there anything you wanted to add that you didn't get out during the interview or during the show?
Well, you know, the only thing that was just stood out to me is last summer I was on, not this past summer, but, you know, a year ago, I was on a panel of entrepreneurs for mm-hmm. an executive MBA class.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the question, okay, how much money do you need to start a business and when should you start it? First of all, I'm going to ask you, what would your answer be? And then I'll tell you what I answer to the group.
You're asking me that question?
Yeah, I'm turning it to you now. Now I'm interviewing you.
Okay, you're interviewing me now. So run the question about me one more time so I get to understand.
How much money do you need to start a business and when should you start a business?
I don't need any money to start a business, and I've already started it.
But when should somebody, if somebody's coming to you and they said, I want advice, what would you answer?
Okay, you want me to answer the question? I thought you were asking me personally.
Yeah, no. I'm saying if you were, you know, a panelist on for a group of people who are potential entrepreneurs and they asked you the question,
when should you
start it and how much money do you need, what would you answer?
Okay, that's my question as a panelist. I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes. Sorry.
How much money do you have, and what can you do right now to get started? I think getting started just takes a decision, a very strong decision, and a knowledge of what you own inside, all the resources that you have inside. And as far as how much money it takes, it all depends on what the first, half a dozen or dozen steps are in your process. That would be along the lines of how I would answer the question, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I said. I said, you know, nothing and now.
Right.
You know, I started my business on less than nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had been through bankruptcy. I mean, I couldn't even get a credit card.
Right.
I was homeless for the first 2 years.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, so, and now, because, like you said, it just takes a decision. And so the people who are like, oh, I want to go save all this up and everything, it's like, you know, everybody should have a side business no matter what you're doing.
Well, everybody can register a domain name. Everybody can set up a basic website. Everybody can choose a title for a book or to write about something that they love or they know about. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know that. Everybody has the ability to take a step in the direction that they're going. It's just that most people don't have vision. Most people don't have any idea or any clue. And really what they're looking for is permission. Would you say that's right?
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I found most people, and I found the most successful people, I got this from Marshall Thurber. I can quote him because he said it first, at least the first I heard of it. He said it's easier to get forgiveness than permission.
Right.
And he was definitely a D-type personality. Where you just sort of charge full steam ahead and then worry about the consequences afterwards. But really, to be a visionary or a leader, you have to do that. Now, if you don't have that quality, in other words, you're more of an S or C type, then you probably need to hook up with somebody like that who you really admire or want to follow and can really just be part of a team that's heading in that direction. And I would say that's a very powerful way of becoming successful, too. Like this person I just hired, Mindy, she's going to be a part of our team. And I have full intentions, once we start really getting rolling, she's going to get some real solid compensation for her help in building this business. So
yep.
Anything you want to add to that? Or?
No. I agree with that. Now, I will say that one thing that, you know, we didn't get into on the regular show was, you know, be careful who you bring in. Because,
right.
You know, I had to fight a hostile takeover, as you may know, 2 years ago. And
right.
That was quite devastating. Quite devastating. So
well, you brought in a partner, though, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
You brought in a partner, though. Is that correct?
Well, I brought in some people to help me run the company. And one of the things that I learned from that experience that I put into this Patience is a Waste of Time book is
uh-huh.
that there is one of the components of effort is energy. And you know, if I had said, instead of I need somebody to help me run the company, I need somebody to drive the company, to
mm-hmm.
drive results, then I would have gotten a different kind of person instead of the right. people who just wanted to sit around and tell me what to do. Well, that didn't do me any good at all.
Right. That's true.
So,
I like that distinction.
Yeah. So that was definitely a big learning.
Well, I don't have any problem driving the company. I need somebody to organize it as we go along so the parts don't keep falling off to the off the sides, you know.
Yeah, well, my problem is I love the creative process, but I don't necessarily like, you know, and I love the development and the writing and everything. I don't necessarily like the managing of all the people and, you know, I like helping sales, but I don't necessarily like driving it. So,
right.
So I'm actually going to be back soon into the mode of looking for somebody to help me with the company. But boy, you know, learning from the past so I don't
right.
touch that same hot stove again.
You know just what to say now.
Yeah, exactly. I hope so, anyway.
I may seek your advice on that as we go along here. So, listen, Brownell, thank you so much for joining me. I've enjoyed this conversation and learned something. So I appreciate you coming on the air.
My pleasure.
Listen, dear, I will be in touch with you. And best of luck on your book, by the way, and your game, Draw Success. And I hope you have all the best success you can get.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, and we've got a Christmas party coming up. I'll send you a notice, let you know.
Okay, yeah, and at some point if you want to see my, you know, my little models and stuff that I've done in this book, you know, the ones you want to steal.
I'm not going to steal them. I'll give you credit. So.
I know. I'm not going to be that way. I mean, I want this book to be like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and a lot of people copy stuff from there, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
I want people to use the material. But I just want to make sure that, you know, the originator, because this is all really original material, and it's quite powerful.
Gotcha.
I do say so myself. So
that's great. It sounds like it. I love it. Brownell, thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the end of our show. Thanks for joining.